Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And this morning, I'm pleased to welcome a newcomer, not just to HealthLink On Air, but to Central New York. Dr. Eric Deshaies has recently joined the Department of Neurosurgery at SUNY Upstate as an assistant professor, and he's with us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Deshaies.
Good morning.
And welcome. Welcome to Central New York.
Thank you.
You're just getting settled, finding your office?
I am.
You've actually been on board just a couple of weeks.
Not even 2 weeks yet.
There you go. Where were you before you came to Syracuse?
I was in Albany, New York at Albany Medical Center.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, I had the opportunity to read a brief bio, which I think probably doesn't even exist, a brief bio, a description of the work you do and your approach, and I even Googled you, so we're going to go through some of the things I found, but the point is I don't know how you have any time to sleep at night because you're involved in so many different pursuits. You're a very busy man.
Yes.
Let's start with the main focus of your work, because I think that's probably of most importance to our listeners this morning. In patients' terms, you're a neurosurgeon, but in fact, you have a lot of specialty areas, some of which I don't even think I can pronounce. So how about explaining those to us?
Sure. As you had said, I am a neurosurgeon, which means that we specialize in surgery on the brain, the spinal cord, and the nerves in the arms and legs. My residency was done in neurosurgery in Albany, but then after that I had gone down to the University of Miami at Jackson Memorial Hospital, where I had subspecialized, meaning I did extra training in an area that we call cerebrovascular and skull base.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is the cerebrovascular part is I'm trained in operating on complicated aneurysms of the arteries and veins in the brain, as well as the neck. Any areas that may be narrowed in the neck, such as patients who have had strokes, and as well as any abnormal sets of vessels in the brain or abnormal tumors that arise along the brain stem. The brain stem is a part of the brain that is very critical for us to be alive. It holds the centers for breathing, consciousness, being awake and alert, as well as heart beating. The tumors that can arise there can put pressure on these areas, pressure on the little nerves, which are small like hairs and very delicate, and can cause problems with people moving their face or their eyes, problems with the vision, and in some more serious situations, even problems with breathing, and can put some people in a coma.
Well, when you talk about the brain stem, I mean, I think that it must be something at the base of the brain, so I'm thinking around the neck. Is that where it's located?
The brain stem is the connection between what most people think of as the brain, which we see in many pictures, and the spinal cord. So all the fiber, all the nerves that go from the brain to the spinal cord have to travel through this area. The area is probably the width of your thumb,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably about 6 to 8 inches long, the whole thing, before it ends up in the spinal cord.
So it must actually start up inside our skull rather than just at our neck.
Correct.
So you really have a long way to go is the point. It's not something that's easily reachable, is it?
It's very difficult to reach, and that's where the extra training makes a difference.
And when you do this extra training, is that a fellowship?
That is. A fellowship is, if someone is a fellow, it means that they've completed a training program, whether it was in my case neurosurgery or any other area of medicine or surgery, and then they go on to specialize to get advanced training in an area that they're very interested in.
For a year or two.
For a year or two, and sometimes a little bit longer.
That's a lot of training. So you now have subspecialized in this very important part of the brain stem, and you told us some of the things it can control. But if somebody has a stroke, they come into the emergency room, and I know there are drugs that can be given to them. How do we know it's time to kick your expertise into gear?
Well, when we're talking about the treatment of strokes, I think we had mentioned before I had done two fellowships. I had also done a fellowship in neuroendovascular surgery. What that means is that I've also specialized in the minimally invasive way of treating aneurysms in the brain and patients with strokes or abnormal vessels. We can, if it's an aneurysm that has bled, we can put little coils inside the aneurysm, which look like slinkies.
And if you will quickly explain what an aneurysm is.
An aneurysm is a blister on a vessel in the brain that has a weak area and can bleed into the brain.
I see. All right. go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure we knew what an aneurysm was. You were saying right. Little coils that look like slinkies.
Right. Or if you have abnormal set of vessels, we can put glue inside. If you have a narrowing in the brain, that in the arteries that go to the brain, that may cause a stroke, put patient at risk of a stroke or someone who's had a stroke, we can put stents inside, which are little metal tubes to open up the vessel. We have balloons that we can use to expand the vessel. And we also have medications and devices that we can use here at Upstate University Hospital, specifically for patients who are having a stroke, to get that blood clot out of the artery.
And minimize the damage the stroke would cause.
Exactly.
And you do that minimally invasively?
We do it through a little needle stick in the artery that goes down to the leg. And everything's done through catheters that go into the brain.
That's quite amazing. But then you do some other surgeries, and one of your other fellowships was in some of these larger problems in the brain stem. And those are things, like you said, they control the muscles of the face.
Yes.
Smell, sense of smell, and more. Tell us a little more about that.
There are several different lesions or tumors that can occur in those areas that can affect hearing, such as acoustic neuromas, which is usually a benign tumor that occurs on the hearing nerve. And patients will complain of dizziness, problems hearing, some ringing in their ears. And when they see their primary physician, often they'll be referred to an ear, nose, and throat surgeon for these symptoms. At some point, they'll get an imaging study of the brain, usually an MRI, and it may show that it's related to the ear, or it may be from a tumor pushing against these nerves and the brain stem.
So you're coordinating your efforts then with an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Right. My efforts for the skull-based surgery is coordinated with a few groups. One is with the ear, nose, and throat surgeons locally in the area, as well as other members of my practice who use Gamma Knife. We are one of the few centers in New York State who have Gamma Knife, which is a radiation therapy that's extremely accurate.
Targeted.
And we can target it right to the lesion.
Mm-hmm. We've actually talked about the Gamma Knife before on the show, and I know people have been very interested. Do you do any of the robotic surgeries?
For the surgeries I do, the robots are not able to do the surgery at this point.
Are they not? Okay. I imagine, though, that once they are, you'll be right on top of it because you seem to like these really delicate things.
Right.
That's interesting. And I know you're doing some research as well. What is your research focused on?
I have a couple research projects. One is in a skull-based laboratory that we're developing here at Upstate. We're developing new techniques, less invasive techniques to approach these tumors at a skull base by using little cameras and endoscopes. And I'll be doing this in conjunction with some of my partners in neurosurgery, as well as some of my other colleagues in ear, nose, and throat surgery. Additionally, I am doing basic laboratory research to find ways of protecting the brain against stroke.
Aha, very good. And this is, of course, why I said I don't know how you have time to sleep at night, because you also write.
Yes.
And when I Googled you, and I think our listeners will get a kick out of this, I found something you'd written called Medieval Management of Spinal Injuries, Parallels Between Theodoric of Bologna and the Contemporary Spine. So I've got to think Theodoric of Bologna isn't anybody who's around today. Who was he?
Theodoric of Bologna was a medieval physician who first described some ways to treat spine injuries with a number of devices that we would currently consider to be torture devices.
Okay, but he helped people in those days?
But he did.
And your conclusions were that the spine was different, the same? What did you decide?
The spine is the same. Mm-hmm. People haven't changed since then, but we have come a long way in the way we deal with managing injuries to the spine and the spinal cord.
Well, I would say thank heavens to that. One of the other aspects of your work, which I think is one of the most important, is that you're working with students and you are imparting your knowledge, what you've learned about all of these things, with students. Are you working with all levels of medical students? Or
I work with medical students, mostly with neurosurgical residents and also with fellows. I do train the neurosurgical residents in neurosurgery, mostly in my area, which would be cerebrovascular and skull-based surgery. Additionally, we do have fellows who are neurology trained and neurosurgery trained, who are now specializing in neuroendovascular surgery, or that minimally invasive way of treating the aneurysm and vessel blisters. So we have a fellow who does that. We also have a fellow who is specializing in stroke care. Mm-hmm. And we have a fellow who is specializing in the intensive care management of patients with neurological diseases.
Outstanding. Which means that here in Central New York, hopefully we're going to have this expertise for a long time to come. Well, Dr. Eric Deshaies, thank you so much for coming by this morning. I personally think it's wonderful that you're here to be able to do all these advanced kinds of surgeries. We will have many people in this area who will benefit.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please do stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.